Chapter 20. Rose recognized she needed to get back to work. Food had become a priority. Her clothes were becoming threadbare, and she'd have to pay something toward her daughter's wedding. She applied for a position in the emergency room at the Brownsville and East New York Hospital. It was a modern hospital with a very busy emergency room. She liked that the hospital provided free care to rich and poor alike and used the most current technology. She recognized that not all hospitals had emergency rooms, although doctors' house calls had declined since the war. Now Rose made $7 a day, working only 5 days a week. The emergency room consisted of one room, and Rose was the only nurse on the shift who worked there. Interns and physicians rotated in and out, depending upon Rose to know where things were and how to get them quickly. Patients came by whatever transport they could arrange, sometimes by an ambulance sent by the funeral home. Rose was grateful the hospital had a pharmacist. If he wasn't there, she used her mortar and pestle to mix medications, and her glass syringe and steel needle to administer them. Rose spent the working day on her feet, rarely getting a break until the shift ended. She triaged the patients, prepared them to see the doctor, assisted the interns, mixed medicines, educated the patients, and then discharged them. Then she'd write everything in the chart. On Saturdays, if Rose wasn't working, she shopped with Laura, who gave her endless advice on marriage and child raising. "Look, Rose, Abby's married, and Natty can take care of herself now. Focus on yourself, Rose. You've given so much to your family. What is it you want, Rose?" asked Laura as they strolled down Pitkin Avenue, linking arms while each held a shopping bag in the other. "What about Abby? I can't abandon her. If anything, she needs me now more than ever," sighed Rose, thinking Laura was right. It was about time she thought more about herself. "You're not abandoning her, darling. You'll still be there if she needs you. Marriage might be the best thing for her. How is she going to live the rest of her life? She can't have her mother around forever." "You always know what's best, Laura. You're such a good friend and very generous. You shouldn't have bought these clothes for me. They were too expensive," said Rose, giving in to her friend's better judgment. Abby wore a beautiful but simple white dress just below the knee, a short veil and satin shoes. She carried a bouquet of baby's breath and pink tea roses. Natty's cocktail-length pink dress matched her satin shoes. Pink was not her color, but she planned to dye it red or black after the wedding. She finally had her own short white gloves that she carried proudly. Her mother had said, "You can't be in your sister's wedding without gloves." Rose was resplendent in a dark pink silk dress and a black headpiece with black netting. Seal, Nathan, and the remaining children and grandchildren attended, as well as Johnny from the emergency room and neighbors from the block. Max, Bob, and Izzy came with their wives and some of the cousins. It was too far to travel for Sam and Gazella. Uncle Bob walked Abby down the aisle. Rose could feel Harry's displeasure in her bones. Laura was generous. The reception was held at her house, where she presented the newlyweds with an antique china vase. She offered champagne and cake, served on silver serving dishes. Everyone threw rice when Ira and Abby stepped into the rented car to drive to the new apartment. Abby looked happy. Rose thought about the young newlyweds on the train to Cleveland. Her daughters hadn't been able to take their eyes off them. They seemed so happy. Can Abby ever be that happy? This is probably the best thing for her. Maybe now all will be well, she thought. She knew better, but agreed with Laura. It was time to think of her own needs. Within the year, Rose resumed her flirtations with the butcher and the grocer, with the optometrist and the man who repaired the stove, anyone from whom she could get favors. She went back to work in the emergency room full-time and cared for her neighbors when they came knocking. Abby stayed home during the day. She was too unstable to hold a job. She tried a few times, but the pressure was too great. She'd have a seizure, or throw herself on the floor and scream or urinate, too embarrassed to return. Her husband, Ira, went to work every day. He didn't witness Abby's suffering. She'd call her mother. "Mother, please come here. I don't feel well. Can you come?" "I'll come after work, darling. I'll be done soon. Lie down and try to rest." Natty kept busy trying to be a normal 16-year-old. Kathy had finally written Natty a short, spare message. October 1949. "Dear Natty, I'm sorry, but we can't be friends anymore. My parents found out. I can't be friends with a Jewish girl. I'll miss you. Kathy." Natty was saddened, then angry. "I shouldn't be surprised," she thought. "It was bound to happen sooner or later. I was kidding myself that we could stay friends once our parents found out. I was so stupid." She allowed herself to be excited when she saw a poster announcing the Blonde Tiger was to fight on an upcoming Saturday night. That was the name Eddie fought under, the Blonde Tiger. It fits him perfectly, Natty thought. She finally asked Eddie about the cauliflower ear. His nose was a bit flatter than when they'd met. He said it was from being hit too many times. But Natty loved his soft, curly blonde hair, twirling it around her fingers when they were necking. He was tougher than he looked. She didn't intend to go to the fight and assumed Eddie wouldn't want her there. It was exciting to think of her boyfriend as a celebrity. She wondered if Eddie's parents were proud of him. Natty had been around Eddie's mother enough to see how nasty she could be. Gussie clearly didn't like Natty either. She called her a Schwarzer because she was so dark. Natty didn't mind how Gussie treated her as much as it upset her for Eddie. Sam, Eddie's father, tried to make up for it by patting Eddie on the back and telling him he loved him. She wasn't sure how he felt about Eddie boxing, but she'd heard him compliment Eddie's artwork. Natty's role model for a good mother was her grandmother, Gisela. She was smart, funny, warm, and a great cook. The other women in her life, her mother, Laura, Abby, and the Cleveland aunts, had specific qualities Natty admired, but as a whole, they failed as role models. Natty knew she'd be a better mother than her own. She wouldn't neglect her children or make them eat horrible food or leave them with people who were practically strangers. But that was a long time in the future. First, Natty wanted to go to nursing school. She looked forward to wearing the pristine white uniform and the white cap with the black ribbon. She knew her mother would approve and her father would have given his blessing. On their next evening together, Natty told Eddie about her plan. "I've decided to go to nursing school after I graduate," she said, apropos of nothing they had been talking about. Eddie was beginning to get used to her abrupt changes in conversation. Sometimes he looked at her inquiringly until the light went on and he realized she was going in a completely different direction. "Okay, that sounds like a good idea. What made you decide to do that?" "I guess it's years of watching my mother go to and from work in her white uniform, and seeing how the neighbors respect her. I'd like people to respect me." "I respect you," he said, winking and smiling, reaching for her hand across the table at the automat. "I'm serious. I'm just not another pretty face, you know," she laughed. "I do know. You're my pretty face, the prettiest face I know." Natty laughed. "Yeah, with that ear and your almost flat nose, you need a pretty face." They each took a few moments to bite and chew. Natty was eating a kasha knish with mustard and Eddie a bagel with lox and a smear. "What about you? I saw the poster of the Blonde Tiger. I'm worried you'll get hurt." "I've already been hurt. That's why I have this pretty face," he said as he playfully pushed on his nose. "They can shoot me, but they can't eat me." "What's that supposed to mean?" asked Natty, chewing between sips of coffee. "Oh, it's something my father always says. It means they can try to get you down, but they'll never beat you." "I'll be fine, really. Tell me, how's school?" "I don't want to talk about school. I hate math. I'm just no good at it." But I bet you're the envy of all the girls having such a perfect boyfriend. Don't change the subject. Seriously, Eddie, why do you have to fight? You're such a talented artist. I've been doing it a long time now, Nat. Keeps me in shape. But the main thing is I need the money. I'm a pro, not an amateur anymore. I learned a lot working on the Superman comic strip, but I don't want to do that forever. That's something I wanted to tell you. I've enrolled in art school, said Eddie, through cream cheese-coated teeth. That's wonderful. Did Mr. Snyder suggest that? Yeah, he's been good to me. He really likes my work. A great guy for a teacher. All the more reason to protect your hands, said Natty, grasping both his hands in hers. It's what I can do until I can find something that will pay as well. I have to be able to wine and dine my girl at fancy places like this. Rose began to visit Herman almost daily. On one of these visits, she noticed that Jenny looked ill. Jenny, you look awful, she said, without her usual bedside manner. I don't feel well at all, Rose. What do you think is wrong with me? Asked Jenny, completely unaware of Rose's interest in her husband. Rose sat down beside her. Tell me what you're feeling. Do you have a headache? Have you taken your temperature? Asked Rose, now with genuine concern. She touched Jenny's face with the back of her hand. You don't feel warm? No, I don't think I have a fever, but my head hurts and my eyes aren't seeing like they should. It's a little blurry, Jenny said while trying to focus on a picture on the wall. I think you should see your doctor today. Your blood pressure may be up. Herman, she said, facing the man to whom Jenny was married and Rose wanted. Herman, can you take her to the doctor? I think you both should go. In times of crisis, Rose could separate her nurse self from her self-interest. Yes, we'll go right now, said Herman, gathering their jackets. Can you call the children, Rose, and tell them we'll call them after we see the doctor? Jenny died from a stroke 1 week later. Within the year, Herman bought Rose a mink stole and jewelry. They married and moved into a grand apartment. Natty moved in with Rose and Herman. Everything had happened so fast. Harry's death, Abby's wedding, and Rose's new relationship. Things were moving fast in her life, too. It was 1950. The Korean War had begun.